You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, I don't know if you've been tracking through this week the devotions that I've been doing online. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's been available for you on Facebook, Instagram, of course, email as well, and on our YouTube channel. And today what we're going to do is we're going to finish our two-part mini-series looking at this message called God Works. Say it with me. God works. And it's Romans chapter 8, 28, and it says this, "And we know that in all things God works for those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then, church, shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Because it is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit." Now, let me give you a fact. We could preach on this passage all year and still not really get into the depth and the magnitude of the wonder found in these verses. Last week, we said a few things. Firstly, we said this, we know. And the question I asked is this, is do you know? It's one thing to know in good times. It's one thing to know when you've had a pay rise. It's one thing to know when she says yes, when you ask, say, will you marry me? It's one thing to know when things are going well in the workplace and the house sale goes through and you've got your healing in your body and the miracle. But what about in bad times? Do you know then? Because Paul's writing to an early church who are facing persecution daily, and he's saying, listen, despite your hardship, we know. And you can know. Because knowing comes not from your circumstances. Knowing comes from a revelation, an encounter with God that says this, nothing's changed out here, but everything's changed on the inside. And that means you can go through life saying, I know. Despite circumstance, I know. Despite rising costs, I know. Despite those bills, I know. Despite what's happening in my body, I know. He goes on here, he says, we know that all things. What things? All things. Good things and bad things, happy things and sad things, things on the mountaintop, things in the valley, things that remind you of good times and other times that are difficult. He says, in all things, unemployment, employment, sickness, health, breakthrough, struggling for breakthrough, in all things, he goes on, he says, God, in all things, God. And the reason he puts God there is because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, a monkey. Not in the beginning, gases. Not in the beginning, some cosmic atmospheric explosion. He says, in the beginning, God. And because in the beginning, God, you can know that in all things, God. God is there somewhere. That was last week. You can pick that up on YouTube. But let's go on a little bit further. He says, and we know that in all things, God works. God works. And I want you to know there's a few things today. Number one, God is not broken. God works. God doesn't need fixing. God works. God doesn't need no pastor, no preacher, no sage of the age, no religious guru to come along and shape him and make him more approachable. No, God never needed fixing because God works. Now, I'm going to be honest, church. I hate it when things that should work don't work. Like this week, I tried to lock my car key, my car, and the key stopped working. And it's not one of those keys that you can put in the door handle. And I couldn't lock my door and I had to walk away from my car saying, Lord, bless my car, whoever steals it in Salford, in Jesus' name. I hate it when things that should work don't work. Have a look at the screen really quickly.
Hey, church. Well, listen, a few years ago, in fact, it was my 40th birthday. I had one of my favorite birthday gifts ever was this coffee machine. Every morning I wake up, I love having my morning coffee. Black coffee, my Bible, my sparkling water has been my routine for such a long time. And I love it. I keep my coffee up here. It's Lavazza coffee that I put in there and it goes in the hopper in the top. And every morning I wake up excited about the coffee. The trouble is this, right, is I've had it nearly 10 years. And now what's taking place is this, is that sometimes the coffee machine's just not working. So here it is, it's flashing, it's ready to go on. And I'm praying, I'm saying, God, will it work? Will it work? Because there's nothing worse than waking up for my morning coffee and not having coffee because for whatever reason, there has been a malfunction on the coffee machine. This is where you heat the milk if you ruin your coffee, when you put milk in coffee, because how many of you know proper coffee drinkers don't put milk or syrup in it? It's gotta be black, it's gotta be strong. The water goes in this side here, and on the right-hand side, this is where the coffee grinds go. So what's happening right now is the water is coming through to clean out everything. Hopefully it's going to work. And fingers crossed. Do we do that as Christians? No, I don't think so. Prayerfully, is it going to work? So it's working well. What tends to happen sometimes is this, is that in the top where the coffee beans are ground, everything gets, I don't know, it just stops working. And sometimes I'll press the button, the coffee will be ground, but nothing will pour. And I'll waste some precious coffee. So let's see what happens here right now. I'm praying, God, will it work? I need my morning coffee. I need my morning coffee. I can't pray and read my Bible until I've had my morning coffee. Grinding, grinding. Please work. Oh, it's working. Praise the Lord. Today is going to be a good day. Don't you love it when things work? And don't you hate it when things that should work don't work?
There you go. A little bit of a tutorial on coffee and coffee machines. You know, you heard me say, you know, you don't put milk and syrup. I had a coffee with Lynn's West the other day. You have never seen such a weird drink. He had some mocha thing with all sorts of syrups and all sorts of things. I thought, gosh, yeah, you look like a man, but you're not really, Lynn's West, because of all this perfume type stuff that you put in it. Hey, I'm speaking, not you. Just be quiet down there on the second row. And the thing is this, don't you hate it when something that should work doesn't work? And there are so many times in the last year or so, 18 months, Sophie says, we need to buy a new coffee machine. No, I'm like, babe, we are gonna eke this thing. This is gonna work until the day I die. I hate it when something that should work doesn't work. I want you to know, church, that everything that is made breaks. Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God was not made. God always was. Because God was not made, He doesn't suffer entropy. He doesn't wind down. God is self-sustaining. God is all in all. God is not served by human hands as though He needs boosting for His ego. He doesn't need the NHS. He doesn't need help. God works. God was never broken. God will never be broken because God was never made. In all things, God works. I don't need to twist His arm because in all things, God works. In fact, His working is not dependent on my praying. His working is not dependent on my fasting. Thank God, someone. His working is dependent on the fact, not me, He works because He's God and God can't help it. God's not broken. In all things, God, He's working right now. Because secondly, you've got to know this, God is not silent, God works. You ever prayed a prayer and thought, God, where are you? God, you're not answering me. Hello, McFly. God, where are you? How come you're ignoring my prayers? And sometimes we've said to each other and we've thought to ourselves, God is silent, but church, you've got to know God is never silent. God always speaks. He's speaking. This morning in my quiet time, I was reading from Revelation chapter 3, and God said this in Revelation chapter 3. It said, Glenn, when I open a door, no man can shut it. And when I shut a door, no man can open it. And woman. In other words, my life and my destiny is not in the hands of fate. My life and my destiny is not in the hands of COVID. It's not in the hands of the government. It's not in the hands of anything. The Bible says, God says, I open doors, I close doors. So I don't know about you, this morning God's already been speaking to me with my black coffee and my sparkling water. Glenn, in 2022, I'm going to open doors and close doors. Don't stress, son, it's going to be okay. Because in all things, God works. You got to know He's not silent. And friends, listen, even if you don't have a Bible and you can't read, the Bible says this in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Sometimes you just got to put down the Bible. You've just got to go outside, and if it's a fine night, look up. Go into the countryside and look up. Go, wow, God, you speak. You. The Bible says He put the stars in the sky. The Bible says He knows the stars by name. God works, He's speaking. You're in trouble if it's all just bang. Was there a big bang? I reckon when God said, let there be light, there was a big bang. But if you think it's just the consequences of gases coming together and something happened, then God ain't speaking in your world, because when you go out, you're gonna go, wow, aren't those gases amazing? But for a believer in Jesus Christ, for somebody who reads the scriptures, you understand, God, you did this. Wow. He's not silent. And when it even feels like He's silent, at least like we said last week, you can at least trace His heart and know His heart. That His heart for you is that in all things, God works. Third thing is this, God is not neutral. God works. I love this. He's not some silent bystander in your life. He doesn't just stand on the sideline saying, Darren, Catherine, you're on your own. I love it. You know, when COVID hit, God wasn't saying, hey, listen, you're on your own, everybody. He's not a silent bystander. In fact, the more I read my scripture, I realize God works. So God saw the fall of humankind, Adam and Eve sin, and saw the result of sin and what was going to take place. But in that time, God wasn't a bystander. The Bible says God works. You know how I know that? It's because the Bible says even before the foundation of the earth, God saw what Adam and Eve would do, and He had a plan for salvation. So when you didn't know it, He was working a savior into your life. How is it that you ended up in that conversation where somebody told you about Jesus? How did you end up on that train when somebody told you about Jesus, or you ended up getting that invite to come to church and someone told you about Jesus? Do you know how that happened? It wasn't luck or coincidence. It's because God works. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel that God devises ways where people who are not in relationship with him will be in relationship with him. And so God is working all the time. I love it when I read my scripture. God works in every situation and circumstance. You know, when you were lonely, God worked. God worked a way for you to be in family, a church family, working behind the scenes with people to enable systems to be set up for small group communities in church to be able to establish. God is working you out of loneliness into community. I love when I read my Bible and I think about my life, that in seasons when I've had lack, God worked. The power of hindsight's a beautiful thing. That when you look back, friends, and you see those seasons of lack and you're able to stand on the other side and go, gosh, God, you were brilliant. I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't know what you were up to, but I want to thank you, God. But even in my lack, you worked. In my failing, he works. In my climbing the corporate ladder, he's working. In my stumbling down the corporate ladder, he's still working. Friends, you got to know this year, in all things, God is working. He's working in Jesus' name. The fourth thing is this, is God is not absent. God works. He's not absent. He's not an absent God. He works. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want to see something, show you something really important in this. For the reader of the original text, written in Hebrew there, the reader of the original text, a Jewish person will tell you that the word created is not just a past tense thing. It's actually a present action and a forward projection. So when the Bible says that God created, it also means he is creating. He has created, he is creating. He has done something, he is sustaining. He did begin all things. He still breathes life into all things, which is why we can absolutely say, friends, that God is not absent. God works because he is still creating. Now, if you thought your life required a Herculean task of multitasking, think about God for a moment. BBC website, March 2021, Abigail Beale writes this: the mystery of how big our universe really is. Let's start by saying, she says, the universe is big. It's profound, that, isn't it? The furthest visible regions of the universe are estimated to be around 46 billion light years away. That's a diameter of 540 sextillion miles. That's 54 and 22 zeros. But this is really just our best guess. BBC website, this is just our best guess. Nobody exactly knows how big the universe really is. And the universe might actually be much younger than the currently accepted norm of 13.8 billion years. She's writing what all scientists say. We don't know. How good is it that we as Christians, we know what we need? Do you know the Bible says that God measures a universe with the span of his hand? Did you know the Bible says that he calls them by name? And not only does he know all the planets, all the constellations, all the galaxies, the universe, not only does he know it by name, but the Bible says he has numbered the hairs on your head. And all the time, even with this new satellite that's gone into space and taking snapshots all the time, we're going, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. And now we're seeing further than ever before. But God, who's on the outside of time, on the outside of the universe, is saying to the clever scientists, hey, you reckon that's good? Wait until you see what I've got lined up for you to see in 20 years' time. And in amidst this magnitude and wonder of this creative God, he says, I know you by name. Oh my gosh, what a God we have. A Aren't you so thankful today that we don't have a God made with human hands? Because if he could be made, he can be broke. But the Bible's really clear and says he always, always works. He's working right now. You don't know, but he's working right now. He's building you right now. He's sustaining you right now. He's strengthening you right now. He's healing you right now. He's going before you right now. He's answering your prayers right now. He's hearing every prayer right now. He knows the thoughts of your heart right now, friends. God is working. And for that, we should all stand to our feet across this place. And come on, let's give him 30 seconds of praise and let's thank him that he is working. He's not silent. He's not broken. He's not absent. We have a God today. He is working. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. We give you praise. Come on, come on, come on. 10 more seconds. He's working. Yeah. Now listen, you can grab a seat. Some people will say, Glenn, you're just hyping up the crowd. No, I'm not. Sometimes you got to convince yourself of things. Sometimes you got to say to your emotions, just shut up for a second. My life won't be ruled and ruined by my emotions. Because despite what's happening around me, I've got a revelation of a God that works. And I love this about our wonderful God. God has not forgotten you. God works. Let me say it again, friend. God's not forgotten you. He works. Having traveled the globe many times, I know a lot of people, I guess, in a lot of parts of the world. And when I'm in Cape Town and I see people who I know, and because I see them in their context, I'm like, hey, good to see you. But when I meet them outside their context, I have no idea who they are. It's like about 4 weeks ago, we had a pastor come to church to visit us just for a Sunday. He didn't tell me he was coming. He's from Athens. I met him 2 years ago in Athens at a very small conference that I was at. We spent about 48 hours together, good man of God. And in Athens, I'd see him in Athens and go, oh, I know you. But on the door in church, I'm like, he's like, Pastor Glenn, how you doing? Good to see you again. Do you remember the time we had together? And I'm like, and I'm genuinely thinking, Neville, I have never seen this guy before in my life. And so I said to him, I said, where do I know you from? He goes, Athens. And as soon as I had the context for the person, I knew who he was. I have to do that all the time. I have to contextualize people all the time. I see you in context, I know who you are. Now, let me say this about you. Your context is this. You come from the heart of God. Let me tell you what your context is. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, since before you were in your mother's womb, God says, I knew you. I set you apart. Did you know something? You weren't the consequences of a man who looked at a woman and a woman who looked at the man with a twinkling in the eye and 9 months later you arrived. No, there's more going on than that. You're more than just the consequences of a couple who got together and you were born. No, you're more than that. You're more than adoption. You're more than fostering. You're more than biological. None of that means anything to God, because the context for your life is this, is that before anything began, in fact, the Bible says that while you were in your mother's womb, God knit you together. Plain, pearl, pearl, plain, just doing a nice crochet job with some of you, probably a little bit of a frilly bit around the edges, crocheting with Linz and his coffee drinking and things like that, just kind of in the midst of this plain pearl, you know, kind of a little bit of a frill for this mochaccino type thing with 19 syrups and 62 sugars and a little bit of cream and three or four marshmallows on top. Do you understand, friend? That's your context. And so now that means that you can walk through every moment of every day with a sense of confidence deep down. I know, because God works. My contest is not I'm a Manx, not Salfordian, not from Cheshire or Derbyshire. I'm not from Geneva, from Switzerland. I'm not from the continent of Africa or South America or Asia. My context is the heart of God. Oh my gosh. So when you woke up this morning with questions about the week, thank God he works. As you go to bed tonight and you, in your last few moments before you fall asleep, you give your final prayers to the Lord. Thank God that he's not forgotten you. in all things. God works, the Bible says. And Paul's really clear. He says here, he works for the good. Now, here's a bombshell for you, folks. God works. I know for some people, work is like a four-letter word. It's something that we have to do begrudgingly in order to pay the bills, or we have to do it because now we're adults and we have to work. I want you to know, friends, no, if God could work, and he does, and in a perfect world, God put Adam and Eve in a perfect world to work, what I want you to see is this, is work is not just an obligation, work is about fulfilling divine purpose. In all things, God works for the good. Notice the definite article. It's the word the good. Not a good, not any good, but the good. And we have a Bible passage in Mark chapter 10 when somebody goes up to Jesus and says, good teacher. Jesus says, why do you call me good? Do you not know that no one is good but God? No one's good but God. So get this. In all things, God works together for the good. In other words, in your life, God is working for the good. In other words, in your life, God is working for himself to fulfill his purposes in your life through your work. Oh, we thought we were working to pay the gas bill. Wrong. We thought we were working because we just searched the internet and came up with the best job that we could do for now. Wrong. Friend, when you get a sense that in whatever job you're doing right now, you are working to fulfill the purposes of God, do you know how much that changes our mindset? Do you know how much that could actually change Monday morning for us? Waking up, drinking our black coffee, going about our business through the day, because we know right now God is working his divine purpose through me, through my work. At this point, I pause. I want a keyboard to come and I want to pray for work. If you are unemployed in this room, you're watching in Geneva right now as well, if you're unemployed or you want to have a sense of greater significance in your work and see the hand of God, divine purpose, or you are believing that God in this next season will do something new in your workspace and work career, quickly, I want you to stand to your feet in this auditorium. I'm gonna pray for you right now in Jesus' name. I'm gonna pray for the hand of God to be evident through you in your work. In the coffee shop there in Geneva, quickly stand to your feet as well. All right, folks, reach out your hands towards these people who are standing. And if you're standing, lift your hands to heaven. Father, I want to thank you right now for the significance of this moment. Thank you, Lord, that right now you are working for the good in all things. Lord, right now, as we reflect on this moment in time when in a perfect world you put Adam and Eve in the garden to work, I pray that right now, supernaturally by your Spirit, would you give every single person standing a greater measure of significance found in the outworking of your purposes through their work. Right now, God says to you, it's not about title. It's not about money. It's not about promotion or demotion. It's about trusting the hand of God, knowing that he will work his purposes through you, through work. Father, for people unemployed who are standing in this moment or at the end of a job, about to start something new or looking for something new, I pray, Lord, for just a supernatural sense of you going before. I pray that job applications that are already out there, posted by your children in the house of God today, Lord, I pray that they would land on the right desk at the right time. That in interview processes, we would find interviewers saying, you are just the person I've been looking for. And that, Lord, as we hear those words, we would be reminded again that in all things, you work. I pray, may this week in our work, may we have a greater measure of significance and divine purpose, sensing your hand than ever before, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and thank God for hearing this prayer and for what he's about to do in Jesus' name. You can take your seats. for these final moments, just as I wrap this up, because I love what it says here. He says here this, that God works for the good of those who love Him. Church, this is really significant. He works for the good of those who love Him. Now get this, God can do anything, but it is always on condition. Let me read you the Bible again. That God works for the good of those who love Him. Who love Him. In other words, it's good from all, but it's not good for all. This is really significant. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this down. I want you to reflect on this during the week. I'm more than happy for you to disagree with me. As always, I want you to take it to God and see what God is saying through this scripture yourself. It's good from all, but it's not good for all. Because He's very clear that He works for the good of those who love Him. And it's not that God does bad. I said it last week. God is not a God who does bad. But He is a God who says, listen, if that's the way you persistently want to live your life, I will hand you over to yourself. Let me read you this passage. Romans 1:28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over. Those who refused to love Him, those who refused to acknowledge Him, those who refused to put Him first in their lives, make Him God, make Him central. God says, okay, I love you, but because of the way you want to live, I will give you over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Look at this, they disobey their parents. As a parent, you should be hooping and hollering right now. They have no understanding, no fidelity, my gosh, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but approve of those who do it. And so in Romans chapter 8, 28, God is saying, I want to bring good out of all things in your life, but you have to let me. That there comes a moment when in your walking with God, as you read the scriptures, you begin to become aware of what God is asking for you in terms of your life, that there has to come a moment where you say, okay, God, I surrender to what I would naturally want to do. And I choose to love you, honor you. God works together for the good of those who love Him. The word there, love, is agape. And it's not an emotional love. It's not an erotic love. It's not this passionate sexual type love, and nor is it a brotherly love. What it is it's a decision-making love. It's an agape love that actually makes the intent decision. God, I will put you first. You're first in my thinking. You're first in my feeling. You're first in my speaking. You're first in my timekeeping. You're first in my diary. You're first in my finances. You're first in my family. You're first in my life. What then shall we say in response to these challenges that we face in 2022? Romans 8:31. For those who love Him, the Bible goes on in verse 38. For I am convinced, I know that neither death nor life. For a Christian believer, death is not the end, death is merely the beginning. Death is not a removal, death is just a step from this place into a new space. For I am convinced, I know that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor those measly little demons, neither the present nor the rest of 2022, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What shall we say in response to all the challenges that lie ahead this year. And we know that in all things, God works. And this moment that we're going to have right now is simply a moment of trust. I want you to stand to your feet across this place. I want to lead you in a prayer of trust, of surrender before God Most High. Before we do that, I want to invite you into a moment right now where as you stand in this auditorium or you're watching online in Geneva, in any of our locations actually, or you're at home isolating as well, and you're in this place, you're saying, you know what, Glenn, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Him as my God, as my Lord. Friend, the greatest thing that you can do is make a decision at the beginning of this new year. God, I choose no longer to put my trust in me and my ability. I'm not putting my trust in the sciences. I'm not putting my trust in the government. I'm not trusting in my own ability to do things. I'm putting my trust in You. And the Bible's really clear, friends. The Bible says that God, that Jesus, He stands at the door of our heart and He knocks and He says, you know something? I want to have a relationship with You. And there are people in this room right now and there are people watching online. You're saying, Glenn, that's happening to me right now. I sense God is knocking on the door of my heart and I just know, I can't describe it, but I know deep down that I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're in this place, you're saying, Glenn, I don't know Jesus. Please lead me in this prayer. I want to make a step forward in knowing God as my God, not a distant God, but as my God, as my Savior. So with every head bowed, every eye closed across this auditorium, Glenn, please pray for me. I don't know Jesus. I want relationship with Him. I choose from this day to put my trust in Him and make Him Lord of my life. This is my moment to include you in a prayer where you're standing. So if that's you, you say, Glenn, pray for me right where I am, right where I'm standing. I want to know Jesus. And right now, quickly, lift your hand nice and high. Hold it nice and high across this auditorium so I can see across this place. Quickly lift your hands. Glenn, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Awesome. I want to know Jesus. So good. Glenn, pray for me. I want to know Jesus. I want relationship with Him. Lift your hands just so I can see across this place. Online as well, lift your hands. You can type yes in the chat as well. If you're in the coffee shop in Geneva, just lift your hands right now. Say, Glenn, pray for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good, so good. I'm going to give you 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, Audacious Church, pray this prayer after me. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray this out loud together. Say this after me. Dear Jesus, I thank You for this moment. I know I need You in my life. I'm sorry I've lived my life without You. But right now I cannot deny what is taking place in my life. I ask You to be my God. And I thank You that You've heard this prayer. Everything has changed. You're my God. I'm Your child. And I get to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for these beautiful people lifting their hands right now.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.